Just want to say thank you to Pastor and the church for letting me get up here and preach. It's an honor. And I don't know if I'll be able to preach to anybody if everybody's still crying over that movie. So hopefully it's not because you're ready for me to be done that you're crying or I hurt your feelings. But all right. If you would, please, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 12 is what we'll be reading. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you would, just stand as we read. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and we'll read through verse 12. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this new year that we're about to begin. We just pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you would use me as a vessel to get your message across, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would work a special way in each and every one of us, Lord. Be with Brother Frank as he preaches after me, and just thank you for all that you've done for us this year and all that you're going to do for us as we trust in you these next year to come, Lord. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm going to talk about possessing the right spirit. We've heard tonight about our New Year resolutions. What is it that we're going to resolve to do this next year? And I just want to challenge you that you would have the right kind of spirit. In our text, we see in verse 7 that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This is the first spirit. This is the first characteristic, I could say, of your life that I'm going to talk about. It's the spirit that we should not possess. I'm going to talk about three spirits. The first, spirit of fear, we are not to possess. The other two, we are to possess. So the spirit of fear, what is this word, fear? Many people, when you say fear, you think of a phobia. There's a Greek word, phobeo, which is a very common word for fear. It's an extreme fear. Maybe you've heard of arachnophobia, or maybe you're deathly afraid of clowns or something like that. But that's not the type of fear the scripture's talking about in this verse. This word is deleia, or a timidness, a cowardly spirit. Look back in your Bibles, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Replace timidness. He has not given us the spirit of timidness. He tells us that there should not be an ounce of this scaredy cat, if you will, type spirit. So when you are maybe wanting to go somewhere or go witness to a friend, to a relative, and you're scared, you're fearful that maybe you'll upset them. That's the spirit of fear. And God says that he hasn't given us that spirit. And if it's not from God, where is it from? I don't think I want to be doing anything that God is against. So we should not only avoid this spirit of fear, but we should assail it. We should overcome the spirit of fear. Keep looking in verse 7. It said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He gave us power to overcome it through Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, he gives us power. With man, everything is impossible. But not with God, for with God, all things are possible. And of love, you see, God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. We need to love people more than we love ourselves. We need to love people more than the fear that is inside us. Get over the fear, get over the timidness, and just love people. Be a neighbor to someone. care for them. That's more important than anything. If you don't love people, how are you going to win them to the Lord? Don't be fearful. And then he gives us the sound mind. Maybe you think, oh, I'm not going to know what to say. I'm going to go blank. I'm going to lose my train of thought. God gives us a sound mind, power, love, sound mind, not fear. So this fearful spirit, we should avoid it. We should assail it. There's two other spirits I want to talk about tonight. The faithful spirit. Look on in our text in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be not ashamed. What do you do in your private life? What do you do in your public life? What do you do in your professional life? Are you being faithful? Are you reading your Bible? Are you witnessing? Are you living a life that others know that you're saved? What are you doing to climb the executive ladder? What are you doing to go further, to further your career? Is it biblical? But we don't need to just possess this faithful spirit. Possessing it is like knowing something but not doing it. Like knowing I need to do my homework at school doesn't get my homework done. Knowing you have a big project to do and you don't do it doesn't get the job done. See, we don't need to just possess it. We need to practice it. We need to practice this 24/7, every day of our lives. You know the word devotion, a lot of us think devotions. Okay, wake up in the morning, read my Bible, check. What's next? A devotion is constant. You're devoted to something. If I say I'm devoted to loving my fiance, soon to be wife, July, pray for her. If I say I'm devoted. Everything I do, everything I say is uplifting her. If I say I'm devoted to God, everything I do, everything I say should be uplifting God's name. What is it that we're doing? Are we having a faithful spirit? Are we possessing the faithful spirit? Are we practicing it? Not only the faithful spirit, but also a fruitful spirit. Now, when I say a fruitful spirit, many people may think the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of Spirit are given in Galatians 5. And that's not what I'm talking about. The fruitful spirit is a spirit that our text talks about. Go back to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. We can go back to verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Go back to the beginning of verse 9, where it says, he called us with a holy calling. What is this holy calling? Some of you are probably ahead of me, but Matthew chapter 28 tells us what this holy calling is. The Great Commission. Before the world began, Christ had the Great Commission. He told of it in the Old Testament, foretelling the birth of Christ. Then he tells of the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And then there's this Great Commission that we are to practice, that we have been given. Verse 19 of Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, the Great Commission is our holy calling. To go. Not just stay, but to go. Have initiative. Go. See who you can talk to about Christ. Don't wait for someone to come by you like, oh, I don't know, I'm timid, I'm fearful. That's not the spirit we're supposed to have. A fruitful spirit, one that practices the holy calling that God has placed upon our lives. And you see, if you keep reading, it says, not according to our works. Nothing that we can do, nothing that we can say, but all according to his own purpose and grace. what He has planned for our lives. It reminds me of a story in Matthew chapter 14. Everyone turn there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. It's a story about Peter. As you're turning there, Matthew 14, verse 28. Story about Peter walking on the water. If you look at, I'm sorry, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. What's the word? Afraid. What's the word?
Afraid.
Okay, that's a little better. I feel like I'm talking to nobody up here. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Don't have the spirit of fear. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, what's the word?
Afraid.
No. The word that's next. And he said, come. He called him. He called him out to the water. Just as we have a calling, Jesus called Peter out to the water. And Peter came down out of the ship. He walked on the water. Wow, Peter walked on the water? No. Jesus called him and equipped him to walk on the water. It wasn't that Peter could walk on the water any day of the week. I mean, Peter couldn't go out to the local pond and just walk across to make his distance a little shorter that morning. No, Jesus called him out. And when Jesus calls you, and when God calls you, He equips you. It's not because we can do anything, but because God gives us the power. If we keep reading, we see that Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. He sees the wind boisterous. Verse 30, he was afraid and beginning to sink. You see, he looked to the right and he saw the wind. And in our lives, we may get distracted with things of the world. You see, we may be doing good at first. Going to church. I went to church this Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday. And I gave my tithe. And I talked to this person about Jesus. I think I'm going to skip church this Sunday, though. And you know what? I really need this new promotion. My boss asked me to go have a couple drinks. Can't be that bad, And then you take your eyes off Jesus. What really matters? The most important thing in life, the thing you're supposed to be devoted to, you take your eyes off the prize and you start to sink. Peter has fallen. He has sunk. But I thank God for buts. B-U-T. And I just thank Him that these next three words happened. Peter says, he cried saying, Lord, save me. The three most important words a person could ever say. Lord, save me. And the next thing is the most amazing part. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand. I don't know where you are today, but I know where I've been. And when I needed Him most, immediately, His hand was there. Immediately, He pulled me out. He helped me. And I can tell you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your life, God's there waiting for you to say those three words. Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. So, do you have a fearful spirit? Are you fearing? Are you being timid? Or do you have that faithful and fruitful spirit that will reach the lost, reach your loved ones? I hope that you are having a faithful spirit and a fruitful spirit and not a spirit of fear. Make sure you're possessing the right spirit.